Morning, Rabbi Isai. A most remarkable letter was written by a young man, a younger man. He wrote this letter to his Rosh Hashiva. Young man in America, Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote a letter. And what was remarkable about the letter, we'll soon see the way he spoke in his letter. And he explained that his wife had just given birth a few days earlier to a baby boy. But the baby boy, Lo Aleinu, was very, very ill. Deficient in the heart. Intensive care. And the baby was enrolled. In America, they call it ER. If anyone knows what ER means in America, intensive care. It seems to be a bigger place because there were many, many workers, many medical team working with this baby. And this young man writes to his Rosh Hashiva and he says, I don't understand something. I'm in a quandary. What's the quandary? People are coming to me and saying to me, how are you coping? How are you managing to cope? Your baby's critically ill in ER, intensive care. It must be such a terrible time for you. How are you coping? So what's the problem? The young man writes to his Rosh Hashiva, I don't understand what they're asking me. I don't understand. And it's quite hurtful when people, I know they mean well, obviously they mean well, and they mean my very best interest, but the fact that they say to me, how are you coping, doesn't ring well with me. It upsets me. So the Rosh Hashiva returned, how are you coping? How are you coping? So he says as follows, a very, very, very deep answer. And he writes further in his letter, how am I coping with this and how should people cope? And he begins with talking about the neshama of a person, a person's neshama. And he begins from davening. Elokai neshama shenosato bi tahoirahi. The neshama that you put inside me, each one of us has a spiritual neshama besides our body. Tahoirahi is pure, ato maroso, ato yosato, ato nefakto bi. Then we come to key words here, v'atom meshamra bekirbi. You guard it inside me. Now for those who know Ivra well, it should say, ato shamra, you guard it. Why meshamra? Why meshamra would mean you make it guard. Am I right? Meshamra. And also, why does it say bekirbi? All the others it says be. Here it says bekirbi. The atom meshamra bekirbi. So this young man writes and he says as follows. All my life so far, I've tried to appreciate and make the most of the times when I've had shalom. When I've had peace. When I've had inner peace. All those times when I've had no worries. Or no big worry, shall I say. When I'm able to concentrate on my neshama during Avodas Hashem, and there's no distractions, I'm able to peacefully daven and peacefully learn, and I've not frittled it away in garnished, I have allowed that inner peace to take hold of my neshama. So that when it comes to times when I'm troubled, when it comes to times like now, when my dear baby is in critical care, is in ER, I am able to turn round to my neshama and say quite bluntly, I've looked after you with inner peace, now you look after me with inner peace. It's as simple as that. I've had a partnership, a business deal with my neshama all my life. These people who come to me and say, how do you cope? It seems as if they are detracting from the wonderful friendship and partnership I had with my neshama. Such amazing words. In other words, v'atom b'shavra doesn't only mean Hashem guards my neshama. Hashem makes it that if I look after my neshama, the same as I look after my guf, I feed my guf, I wash my guf, I clothe my guf, the same as I look after my body, I look after my neshama as well. What's the nourishment of my neshama? Learning, davening, doing mitzvahs, gemilas chasadim, when I do that, I'm looking after my neshama. I'm giving my neshama inner peace, which it wants, which it needs. Once I do that, when it comes a time like this, when I don't have physical inner peace, when I'm troubled, then I'm able to turn around to my neshama v'atom meshamra b'kirvi. You make it guard me. Not only shamra guarded, you make my neshama guard me b'kirvi inside me. Yankel Galinsky, Zatzal, tells an amazing story. He was, as well known, he was in Siberia. He was in Siberia, terrible, terrible torture in Russia, incarcerated in Siberia. And every morning, together with the other people in his unit, he would be marched off to labor. When they returned at nightfall, they would collapse from sheer exhaustion. But there was one man in that unit who, even after all the troubles and after all the slave-breaking, back-breaking slave labor, he was fine. He would be able to open up a sefer. He'd be able to daven. He'd be able to learn. Reb Yankel Galinsky wanted to know the secret of this man. How was he able to do it? What was the secret behind this person? He watched. In the middle of the night, this person got up. He went through his rucksack. He went through his case. And he took out a uniform, a soldier's uniform. And Yankel could see it wasn't just an ordinary uniform, it was a general's uniform. And he put on this uniform and the medals on each shoulder. And he looked smart, and he took out a little mirror from his bag, and he looked in the mirror, and a smile came to his face. Reb Yankel watched all this. He put the mirror away, he took off his uniform, folded his uniform away, and he was back nabuch to a slave laborer in Siberia, the same as anybody else. So the next morning, Reb Yankel didn't miss a trick as usual. He went up to this man and he said, Reb Yid, I saw you. I saw what you did. I watched you. I saw the way you took out the uniform. I saw the way you looked in the mirror. I even saw the smile on your face. What's it all about? So he said, here in Siberia, they've degraded us. They've taken us each day for this back-breaking slave labor, degrading, dehumanizing labor. And I come back home, I come back to this unit, and I say, I'm not going to let them dehumanize me. I am not going to allow them to break me. And when I have the chance, every night I take out this uniform, and I put on the uniform, and I look at it, and I look at my medals. I remember how I was, the general I was, and this Vayigvah Liboy is enough for me. And I'm able to fold it, put it away, and that helped me to survive for the next 24 hours. This, he said, this allows me to continue. Says Reb Yankel, it's exactly the same with our neshama. He said to this yid, you've taught me a fantastic lesson for the rest of my life. And he taught it to many other people as well. Let us not underestimate by any stretch of imagination or by any means the neshama we have inside us. Tehoira hi. The fact that we are able to have this wonderful general's uniform inside us with all the medals given, these medals inside us should be enough to keep us strong, to keep us fit. And whatever happens to us, whatever gets thrown at us, we're able to take. And this young man writes further in his letter that when he was led to the ER, his wife was there ready together with a social worker. When he came to this ER, before he walked in, he was warned, "Sir, I must tell you, you may not see some very pleasant scenes. You may be a bit put off. You may be a bit upset. There's a lot of people in there, but don't get too alarmed. They all know what they're doing. Don't worry." And he walked in and he saw at least 25 medical personnel all around his little baby, tiny baby Dalton, all looking after, all doing something else, all doing what they had to do. And he writes in his letter, out of those 25 people in the ER, how many of them were stressed? How many of them were panicking? How many of them were going out of their minds, even though they were dealing with a tiny baby who was gasping for breath and desperate, hanging on to life? The answer is none, not one. Why? Because each and every one of those 25 are professionals. They've trained for this, and when it comes to doing this, they are ready for the action. Not despite what they've got in front of them, but because of what they've got in front of them. They are professionals. They're not deterred by what life throws at them, even if it means looking after a baby who's gasping for life. We are the same. We have a neshama. We give our neshama inner peace. If we make the most of the inner peace that we have, right through our lives, when it comes to situations which need challenging, when it comes to a time when all of a sudden life doesn't become so smooth, when things start to become a bit awesome and a bit frightening, and sometimes a lot frightening, that inner peace inside us takes hold. The neshama says, "Don't worry, you looked after me when you had inner peace. I'm going to give you inner peace even when things are tough, even when things are raw, even when things are as they are now." A few weeks ago, we had Sedrish Lach Lecha. In Sedrish Lach Lecha, we had the Meraglim. The Meraglim, they came back from Eretz Yisrael, they came back from Eretz Canaan after 40 days, and they said, "The land we saw, you've no idea how terrible it is. You've no idea. Eretz oicheles yoshveha hi. It's a land which eats up its inhabitants. So Rashi famously says, Gemara in Seita, "B'chol mokim shelvarenu, in any place we passed, we found people burying their dead." It's a gefelecha place. People are dying left, right, and center. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu osa l'tova k'dei l'taradom be'evlam v'lo yitnu leiv l'elu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it for the good, in order to detract them with their mourning, and they wouldn't notice these 12 strangers strolling through their land, walking through the land, they wouldn't notice. Such a massive tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them. How could these people, these Meraglim, 10 Meraglim, get it so wrong? The exact opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it in order that they shouldn't be noticed. And they turn round and they say, "You know what's happening? They're all burying their dead. It's a gefelecha place." They looked at the bad, burying their dead, and they said, "No, we can't carry on with this. We can't go to such a land, it's terrible." If we look Also in Sefer Bamidbar, in Sedra Maseh, there we have the famous Vayisu Vayachnu, Vayisu Vayachnu. We have an amazing pasuk bang in the middle of all the Vayisu Vayachnus. It starts off, Bnei Yisrael left Ramses, Vayisu Me Ramses. Then what does it say? Umitzrayim Metabrim, Eis Ashehiko Hashem Bohem Kol Bechoya. Out of all the things to mention about Yetzias Mitzrayim, loads and loads and loads of things, which have already been mentioned anyway before. Oh, one thing we didn't mention before, that the Egyptians were burying their dead. Eis Ashehiko Hashem Bohem Kol Bechoya. And then it carries on. Uvelehem, Asa Hashem Shefotim, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael, Vyachem Besukos, etc., etc., etc. Why all of a sudden, Umitzrayim Mekabrim, the Egyptians were burying? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am giving you an inner peace. I am showing you that when you leave Mitzrayim, the Egyptians will not notice you. The Egyptians will not come chasing after you straight away. They did later. They will not deter you from leaving Mitzrayim because they're burying their dead. They're burying all their firstborns. In order to detract from the fact that you're leaving Mitzrayim, you Meraglim, you should have learned, and all those people who followed the Meraglim and cried that Tisha B'Av night, you should have followed what went on in Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan 2448. And you should have seen how the Egyptians were burying their dead, being totally, totally distracted from your leaving Mitzrayim. But you didn't notice. You didn't notice. You just carried on, you left. Of course, you'd see us Mitzrayim. So now when the Meraglim are coming, and the Meraglim say, we saw the people burying their dead, oh, straight away, you forgot the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it once before at Yetzias Mitzrayim, Umitzrayim Mekabrim. You were busy saying, ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking us to a terrible land, and they're all burying their dead all the time. In other words, if we allow ourselves to search and discover all the good things that go on in our lives, so when it comes to the time of the baby being in critical care, Leolenu, when it comes to a time when Chas V'Shalom, there's not so wonderful things happening, we are able to turn around and say, yeah, but look, do you remember how it was then? Do you remember how we were given inner peace then? How HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzrayim Mekabrim, in order that we shouldn't be discovered? The same here as well. And if we look in Sedra Baal Oisecha, we have the parasha of the trumpets, the parasha of the Chatzitzros, where the Torah says, two occasions in the future, besides in the Midbar, Klal Yisrael will blow Chatzitzros. One is V'chisavayu Milchama, when there'll be a war. That's in Posuk Tes. And in Posuk Yud, Uv'yoyim Simchaschem Uv'mayadeichem. On your joyful days and your Yomim Tovim and Rosh Chodesh, you blow Al Oilei Seichem Val Zivchei Shalmeichem. Says the Ibn Ezra, these two blowings seem to be the exact opposite. One blowing is about blowing in war. The other blowing is about blowing on a happy day, on a festival day. Uv Mayadeichem. Seems to be no connection. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Nun Tes, he puts it all as one mitzvah. Blowing trumpets, yeah, you blow trumpets on Milchama, and you blow trumpets on your joyful days. Says the Chizkuni and Ibn Ezra, my ridiculous thing. Blow trumpets on your happy days. Blow trumpets when everything's going well. Blow trumpets when everything is fine. So that when it comes to a situation when you have Nabach Milchama, when you have Hatzar, Hatzoyre Eschem, when there's Tzoras, then V'hariyosem v'chatzosvus v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem alekeichem. You will be remembered by Hashem your God. In other words, if we are not afraid to turn round to Hashem at a time when things are going well, and to say thank you Hashem, which is always much, much, much harder to say than to daven, please Hashem help me. And if we are prepared at a time when things aren't going so well, we are prepared to say, Hashem, the same as you helped me then, you'll help me now. We have the pasuk in Tehillim, Mishmua ro lo yiro nochoin liboy botuach bashem. The Gemara in Brachos tells a story. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi was at the market of Yerushalayim, and he noticed a Talmud behind him appeared frightened and anxious. So Rabbi Shmuel turned round to this Talmud and said, you must be a sinner. You must be a chayter. Why? Because there's a pasuk, pochadu b'tzion chatoim. A pasuk in Yeshaya, the sinner in Tzion are afraid. We say in Tehillim, Mishmua ro lo yira, nochoin liboy botuach b'Hashem. His trust in Hashem causes his life to be totally unburdened by fears and worries. Even something that appears terribly troublesome would not unduly worry him, because he knows that all events in the world are divinely ordained. Steadfast, nochoin. Why does he say the word nochoin? Steadfast in trusting Hashem. We find an amazing thing by Noach. A most remarkable Rashi. Vayiskoy Hashem ba'adoy. Hashem closed the door of the teva. So Rashi says, Noach miktane emuna. He was a lower level ma'amin. A lower level believer. Ma'amin v'einoy ma'amin sheyovoy ha'mabul. He believed and he didn't believe the mabul would come. Until the waters forced him in and Hashem closed the door. He wouldn't close the door. Let us think for a moment, says the Chazon Ish. We're talking about a man who had built a teva for 120 years. We have no idea what that means. 120 years. And all that time, the papers were full of how stupid this man is, and we're going to destroy him, and we're going to wreck the teva constantly. This man is called Katane Emuna. This man is called a low-level Baal Ma'amin. Goodness gracious. He spent 120 years building a teva against all odds. As soon as Noach would close that door of the teva, so that none of Bnei Doiroi would be able to enter, it means he was a failure. Failure. He failed. He tried to be mekarev of his doer, speaking to them while he built the teva, and that was it. As soon as he would close the door, that would be it. He would have no uniform with medals to put on, like that gentleman had in the Yankel story, to show himself, to give himself dignity. He wouldn't have it, because that would be it. There's nobody there that joined him except his own immediate family. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. Noach, all the work that you did in building the teva is not in vain. I mean, we are all here today because Noach built that teva and he kept human civilization going on. We're sitting here today. This is it. Bnei Noach. Bnei Shem, obviously. But all Noach. Vayiskoy Hashem. Hashem closed the door, not just boy on him, but ba'adoy, because of him. Hashem gave him an amazing comfort. When you worked all that time with your inner peace and you kept on building the teva and you were not deterred, you were not distracted, that will stay with you and the world forever and ever and ever. It will never, ever go. And even years to come, when there be future generations, it will be your zechus. It will be with you, and you do have the general's uniform with medals. Those are your medals, and those are your uniform. You have soared to greatness. You have given the world a tremendous chizuk, a tremendous boost. Now we come to another amazing, amazing story in Nach. The story is the Haftorah of Parshas Vayera, the amazing story of the Isha HaShunamis, the Shunammite woman. What does it say there? She made a place in her attic. She said to her husband, Elisha always comes by to our town, to Shunem. Let us provide a room in our attic, a small room. We'll put there mito and a shulchan and a chair and a menorah. And whenever he comes to us, he'll be able to stay there. Obviously free of charge. He'll be able to stay there. So one day, the Pasuk of Malachim base, Siman Dalet, says, one day he came and he went up into the attic as usual and he stayed there. And he said to Gehazi, the famous Gehazi, call me this lady, I want to speak to her. So Gehazi went, the famous Gehazi, or sometimes infamous Gehazi, and he went and he called the Isha HaShunamis. And Elisha said to her, you've gone to all the trouble. You've gone to all the bother to give us this wonderful room and hachnasas orichim, food and drink and everything. Is there anything we can do for you? Is there anything you want? I can speak to you to the king. I can make you royalty. I can give you a place in the army. So she said, B'soich ami onoichi yosheves. I'm happy to stay an ordinary person. I'm a middle of the road person. I'm happy where I am. I don't need Mizrach. So he said, what can we do? So Gehazi said, yes. But there's one thing she hasn't got. She hasn't got a child. And her husband's old. So Elisha said, right, call her back. So he called her back. And he said exactly the same word. That's why it's the Haftorah of Vayera. Ka'es chaya, in a year's time, la'moed azeh, you will have a child. You will be hugging a child. And she said, please, don't make fun of your maidservant. Within a year, she'd conceived, and she had a child. And as we know, the child grew up. And it says, Vayhi Ayoim, the day came, and he went out to his father, he went out to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, I've got a terrible, terrible headache. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. So this lad took the boy home from the field to his mother. His mother rested him on her knees. Vayamos, the boy died. And she went up, and she took him to the attic. She took him to the attic and she put him on Elisha's bed. And she closed the door and she went out. And she called her husband and she said, send me one of the lads and one of the donkeys. I'm traveling to Elisha. I need to speak to him. So he said, why? Famous words. Lo hayom, lo chodesh, v'lo shabbos. Here comes a crunch. Vatoime shalom. And she said, Shalom, everything's at peace. Everything is well. Everything's well? Child! The child is dead! The child died! You're saying Shalom? Shalom, peace. And she meant it. I've got total inner peace. Same as the young man beginning of the story, that he worked so hard in the good times to have inner peace. She was a namadriga. Shalom. So she went, story, she carried on, and she came to Elisha, and he said, Hashalom loch, are you well? Is your husband well? Is your child well? And she said, Shalom. Again, peace. No more than that. And she came to Elisha, and she Vatachazek Baraglov, and Gehazi tried to push her away, and he said, no, leave her, I can see her heart is bitter. Something she's not telling me, something Hashem hasn't told me either. So she said, did I ask you for a child? Did I ask you for a son? I didn't ask for a son. And he said to Gehazi, the famous story, he said, take my stick. Gehazi did it and failed. And then Elisha came to the house, and he went, and he revived the child. Tchias amazing. The question is, how was she able to say shalom? How was she able to turn round and say, everything is at peace? Why didn't she tell her husband? Why didn't she tell him what happened? If she would have told her husband definitely would have said, my dear wife, the child is dead. There's nothing we can do about it. There's no point going to Elisha. The child is dead. We have to call the Chevra Kadisha, Layolayla. That's it. She would have been totally deterred. And that would have been it. She would not have gone back to Elisha. No way. I didn't ask for the child. And now the child's dead. She couldn't have gone. By the fact that she would not allow her dream to disappear. She would not allow her dream to go. He would not share her optimism. The miracle occurred because of her emunah, because of her faith. I may have lost my son, but I've still got the dignity of shalom. And indeed, Shitaka went to Elisha, and as we know, the child was revived. She would not allow anything to go in the way of the one word she answered. Shalom. Peace. One of the Shia Malos, we say in Tehillim, Shia Malos, David HaMelech says, Somachti, I am happy, when they say to me, let's go to the house of Hashem. There's only one problem. There was no house of Hashem. The house of Hashem wasn't built by David. The house of Hashem was built by Shlomo. So how could David HaMelech say, Somachti ba'omrim li beis Hashem neilech? How? Says the Yalkut Shimoni, a most amazing thing. Do you know who said beis Hashem neilech? Detractors of David. People who wanted to make fun of David HaMelech. David, you worked so hard to lay the foundations for this beis HaMikdash. You worked so hard to have a beis HaMikdash. Beis Hashem Neilech. Let's go to the house of Hashem. Let's go to the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, you failed. There's no Beis HaMikdash. Somachti? In that case, it should say, I'm troubled when they say to me, Beis Hashem Neilech. No. Somachti. I have such shalom inside me. Shalom can overcome challenges, even the challenges of these Letzonim who are making fun of me. And even when they turn round to me and say, Beis Hashem Neilech, because they're mocking me and making fun, I'm totally at peace. I'm so happy to be Beis Hashem Neilech, that as soon as I hear these words, even if it's words said by mockers and people making fun, I'm at peace, I'm happy. That's all I need. That's all I need to hear, Beis Hashem Neilech. But it's my people are mocking you. Doesn't matter. It's given me that inner peace. It's given me all I need. The Pasuk says by Tzoras, V'hoya b'oy b'sorei l'nega Tzoras. A person will get Tzoras. Pasuk in Tazria. But normally Chazal tell us, V'hoya is a lashon of Simcha. So what does it mean, V'hoya b'oy b'sorei l'nega Tzoras? Why V'hoya? V'hoya. Because when a person has nega Tzoras, and he realizes that he needs a kapara, he's back to what we've been saying all the time till now. He's got this inner peace. He's got this inner joy. He knows, this is it. Even though negat haras v'hoya. A person came to his Rav with the most frightening exclamation. He said, Rebbe, I'm engaged, I'm involved with a lady that's osur to me min ha-Torah. Arayas. Asura to me min ha-Torah. Very good. So, he was waiting for a massive rebuke. He was waiting for a massive teichacha. He was bracing himself. And the Rav said, I'm jealous of you. You're jealous of me? What do you mean you're jealous of me? He said, I'm jealous of you that you have been put in such a nisayon. You have been put into a nisayon that you are about to be involved with a lady who's asura to you. It shows that Hashem has given you the strength to be able to overcome. Because nobody who makes a machine, nobody who makes a computer, nobody who makes any kind of object would give it challenges that he knows can't be overcome because he's built it. It's his machine. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a nisoyen, it means that the builder of that machine, the builder of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knows that we are able to overcome it. Because otherwise he wouldn't have made that challenge. Otherwise he wouldn't have given it to us. Because nobody who makes a machine or makes anything would give it a challenge that it knows cannot overcome. How much more so in the case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avor Rachamim Hamarachim. He certainly would not give us anything that we know that he knows we can't overcome. We'll just finish briefly with a story of Rabbi Twersky, of Avrom Twersky. It was one of the wars in America, I forget which war now, one of the battles. And I think it was Vietnam. And lo aleinu, a couple had this child, a son in the army, and all of a sudden they were given the news, your son missing in action. Oy, Rahman al-Islam. Who knows whether they'll ever find him? At least Nabuch, if it's La'acha Peti Rosa, at least they've got someone to bury, at least they've got something. Missing in action, unknown. And the parents came to Rabbi Twersky crying their eyes out, distraught, missing in action, the worst thing possible. For 2 years, they didn't hear anything about this boy. Nothing. The US didn't hear a thing. For 2 years. And constantly, Rabbi Twersky would come to the parents and give them amazing chizuk. Every time he spoke to them, they left feeling happy. Feeling happy, feeling content, shall we say. A bit relieved. Each time. And people, members of his family and Tamidim said, but Rebbe, you know that it's really coming up to 2 years. Missing in action most probably means that he won't come home. If they find a body, how can he give the family such chizuk? After 2 years, the boy was found. He was returned home, b'shalem, b'gufoy, shalem, shalem, b'ruchoy, u'v'nafshay. They came back to base, they came back to where this soldier had been stationed, and they found that this soldier found correspondence. Letters, hundreds and hundreds of letters. Written by Rabbi Twersky a few minutes before he would go to visit these parents. And he would send the letter to the battalion where the soldier had been stationed, writing to him as if he knew he was alive and well in that post. And he'd be writing to him and writing to him, I hope you're well, I hope everything's going fine, I hope you're davening, I hope you're learning. And he wrote. And when he finished writing and he posted the letter, he went to the parents to speak to the parents during those 2 years. Whatever. I'm a shagaz to do such a thing? No. He put himself in a frame of mind that he knew anything could happen to this child, Nabuch. Anything could happen to this boy. But the way to overcome that challenge He knew he had to give the parents chizuk. He had to. So he gave himself the inner peace first. He wrote all these letters as if he's writing to a known soldier in his battalion. And he wrote to him, and afterwards he came and spoke to the parents. That inner peace that he himself had helped to overcome the challenges the parents had. And the story has a happy ending that the boy was found. I've got more to mention about Yosef HaTzadik, but time has gone, time has robbed me of that. And we can see that the fact is that Mitzvah Hashem, we're coming towards the closing of Tavshin Ayin Ches, about to enter Rosh Hashanah, Tavshin Ayin Tes, a brand new year. Let's hope that our biggest challenges will be how many Tosfos to cover and how many Mashors to do. That should be our biggest challenge. And we should come to a situation where, in order to overcome any challenges, we should have the peace of mind, inner peace and dignity to be able to turn round to our neshama and to say, when there's peace, I look after you, I help you, what you enjoy most, Avodas Hashem, please look after me, please give me the inner peace to be able to overcome any challenges, Atom Meshamra Bakirbi, and all together we'll be able to have the biggest simcha of all, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, B'mehirah V'yomeinu, Amen.